From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Oh, do we have a program for you tonight. Later on tonight, it's called The Awakening. And if you're listening to this program in your car, your truck, and you get home, you don't want to miss anything, so just stay in the driveway all night. Keep the engine off, though, just to be safe. Here's what's happening. Hundreds of badges, credentials, cell phones, guns belonging to the Department of Homeland Security employees have been missing. They're lost. They were stolen. They're gone, raising serious questions about security and the potential damage that these items could do in the wrong hands. Nobody knows where they are. Inventory reports obtained by the news site Complete Colorado show that more than 1,300 badges, 165 firearms, 589 cell phones were lost or stolen over the span of 31 months between 2012 and last year. The majority of the credentials belong to employees of Customs and Border Protection, while the others belong to Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Boy, that's going to come back to haunt us. Israel's electrical grid was hit earlier this week with one of the largest cyber attacks the country has ever seen, while Israelis cranked up their heaters to ward off an incredible cold snap. The attack occurred during 2 days of record-breaking winter electricity consumption as temperatures dipped to below freezing levels there. That's almost unheard of. But as I was talking with former ABC newsman Ted Koppel about a month ago, cyber attacks on the grid are huge problems for all of us, and it happened in Israel. Fast food chain Wendy's is investigating reports of unusual activity on payment cards that have been used at some of its restaurants. The company said it learned from the payment industry contacts this month of reports indicating fraudulent charges may have been on their cards that have been used legitimately at some of its locations. Now, Wendy's has launched an investigation with the help of cybersecurity experts and is cooperating with law enforcement officials there. Whole Foods recalling nearly 74,000 pounds of pizza due to mislabeling. The labeling says uncured beef pepperoni, but indeed they are the pizzas containing uncured pork pepperoni. It's not on the label. Some people don't like that. It's called the Zika virus. It's been cropping up now in the United States with 3 new confirmed cases in Florida, 2 in Illinois. Texas and Hawaii also have reported cases, including one linked to a baby born in Oahu. It's a condition involving a malformed skull and brain. The Hawaiian newborn was the first in the U.S. to be born with this defect, cases of which have exploded in Brazil. More than 3,500 cases have been reported in the South American country. 46 babies have died. You get this by getting bitten by a mosquito that is carrying the virus. It can transmit it from mosquito to human and back to another human. A meteorologist for the Weather Channel apparently committed suicide when his car crashed through an Atlanta parking garage wall, plowed into an adjacent hotel and injured a worker there. And then he committed suicide. Jeez. Astronomers have discovered the largest known solar system consisting of a large planet that takes nearly 1 million years to orbit its star. How about that for a calendar if you lived on that planet? 1 million years. The gas giant is so far away, making its orbit 140 times wider than Pluto's path around our own sun. Let's check in with astronomer Stephen Cates for his weekly sky update. What do we have, Dr. Sky?
Well, George, there's so much going on in the world of astronomy, but let's talk a little bit about that magnificent planetary alignment closer to home, folks. And it all starts right now, George. If the listener's view, of course, is clear in the sky, and you see that beautiful waning crescent moon, the object just above it is the beautiful planet Jupiter. It takes light about 38 minutes to get from that planet to the Earth. But the planetary conjunction, George, continues. You'll see Mars, Saturn, then brilliant Venus and Mercury hugging the horizon just before dawn. You know, we've talked, George, on this show about exoplanets, planets around star systems, as you were talking about this most amazing planetary object that goes around like a million years. But astronomers are now pointing their telescopes for the next 4 weeks in the southern hemisphere toward the nearest star to the Earth, and that is a star around Alpha Centauri called Proxima. And, George, for the longest time, if we're looking for extraterrestrial life, and you have some excellent guests talking about that, astronomers are saying that the possibility exists around Proxima, which is a red dwarf star. This is an area they're looking to see if there are indeed exoplanets around the nearest star system to the Earth. And the observing object that I'd like to alert the listeners for this week, an object of the week, is the beautiful star Sirius, George. If you go out now, folks, and look high into the southern sky, just below Orion, the most magnificent star, George, this blue diamond in the sky, Sirius, only 8.6 light years away, the light that you see right now left back in around the year 2007. But, George, this is a magical star because it, too, has a small companion around it, a white dwarf star. So this object, as you look at Sirius, it goes back thousands and thousands of years to the ancient Egyptians. They looked at that star Sirius as kind of a time marker when the Nile would flood. George, it's a magnificent star in our winter sky, and that's our sky update for this week.
You make me want to go out and get a telescope.
Thanks a lot. It's a beautiful night to look, George, and great stuff coming in 2016.
I like it. Thanks, Stephen. Dr. Sky. Talking about skies, you look up in the sky, and what do you see sometimes? Tic-tac-toe patterns, all kinds of things. You know something's going on. Chemtrails. And, of course, award-winning producer-director Michael Murphy produced a DVD called What in the World Are They Spraying? It was and is an incredible DVD about that situation. Well, he's got something new now called Unconventional Gray. Michael Murphy is next with me on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Michael Murphy, multi-award-winning producer, director, political activist, president of the Coalition Against Geoengineering. As an independent reporter and community organizer, his work includes directing and co-producing that groundbreaking documentary, Why in the World Are They Spraying?, and the documentary, What in the World Are They Spraying?. It has awakened millions of people to environmental threats and agendas of global engineering programs. And here he is now as we talk about unconventional shade of gray, or what is it, unconventional gray? Whatever it is, you've done it again.
We've changed the name from unconventional shade of gray to unconventional gray, but thanks, you know, for having me on again and for covering this. Such an important issue.
Oh, my gosh, Michael, it really is. Now, when you came out with the other two documentaries, Why in the World Are They Spraying and What in the World, what kind of reaction did you get then?
Oh my God! It was overwhelming, the attention, and I think we're the first people to really bring some credible information into the issue. So it was very overwhelming at first, but it did wake up millions of people around the world, and I think it was responsible, at least in partly, for forming the movement that we now have. And as a result, people around the world are now addressing this. They're looking for ways to stop it. So that's really what is, I guess, aiming us and our professional team into the third film. This is going to be my final film on the issue, but I believe it's going to be the catalyst, finally, for stopping these programs. We have a very well-thought-out strategy, a very professional team moving forward, and this is a call-to-action film. So it's been a lot of work, but I'm very confident that it will be the catalyst to stopping these programs. So I'm very excited.
Oh, let's hope so. Michael, 10 years ago, when you would talk about chemical chemtrails, geoengineering, what would people generally say? Did they think we were all crazy?
Yeah, and I think we thought that we were crazy. I mean, back, God, 10 years ago, it was such a taboo topic. And even, you know, even 5 years ago when we came out with What in the World Are They Spraying, it was very, not very well known. After the film, it started breaking the ice, but still people kind of looked at this as something that was considered this conspiratorial issue. Well, here we are 6 years later, and most people are at least aware that there's an issue out there. Some believe it, some don't. But, God, the market, if you would, has changed dramatically over that five-year period. And today people are listening. Today people are questioning. And if you live in Los Angeles, our skies have just been heavily aerosoled. And they've changed dramatically, even in the past 5 years. So these programs continue to ramp up. While we have credible information out there, I think that we've made a lot of progress, at least in terms of awakening people. Now my goals are looking at this awakening, which we have had a mass awakening, and really focusing on what we can do to stop these programs. And, you know, I look back and with both of the films, which I think were successful in terms of waking people up, but our skies are still filled with aerosols. We still have the related climate change. And I've come to the realization that probably, even though it's important to wake people up and to get the word out, it's not enough. We have to do more to get these programs stopped. So that's really what I've been brainstorming about for the past couple of years. And now we have a very, as I said, a very well thought out strategy. And I feel very strongly that we have the right ingredients that will put an end to these programs.
Michael, how do you convince people who will say, look, you folks, you're just looking at jet vapors. That's it. How do you get them convinced that there's some geoengineering going on up there? These are chemtrails, too.
Right, and we do run by that a little bit. It's changed a lot, obviously, in the past 5 years. People are starting to question. But, you know, the films, both What and Why in the World Are They Spraying, go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com. They're valuable tools, and we made those available on YouTube, and that was to create the worldwide movement. So, you know, right now people are questioning. Some people are skeptical. But with the facts that we have in terms of geoengineers' plans and proposals and the changes that we're seeing in terms of agriculture, ozone destruction, pH changes in the soil, all of these things match what the consequences would be, according to geoengineers, if they were to start these programs. Well, they have started these programs. We have so much evidence. And really, you know, I try to relate to people because I was in that place. And the first person that told me about this, I literally thought they were crazy and wasn't really open to the issue. It was only after several years living in Arizona, I noticed that our skies were changing. I began to question that. And then again, somebody told me about the issue, which they called chemtrails at the time. So my eyes began to be opened up just due to what we were seeing in terms of atmospheric conditions. But then, you know, I researched this quite a bit, looking into the issue of geoengineering, and came to the realization that there's no question about it. These programs have been ongoing. Actually, now we're finding for well over 40 years, and they're very destructive both to human health and ecosystems around the world. So many people now are noticing that forests are collapsing. I spent the summer in Chicago, and they've had an abundance of rain over the past couple of years, and I would say about 20% of the trees are dead. They're dying in that area, and I've traveled all around the world, lived sometimes in Hawaii where we're getting an abundance of rain. Same thing around the world. Our ecosystems are collapsing, trees are dying, and of course what we addressed in both of the two previous films, the aluminum, and that's the primary ingredient that they're spraying, and other things as well, which hopefully we'll get into, those are very toxic to soils, to ecosystems. As a result, the pH has been changing, sometimes in certain areas, up to 10 times the alkalinity. As a result of those changes, due to the metals that they're putting into our sky, we're getting these ecosystem collapses. We're getting forest collapsing, but as we've spoken about in other shows, there's a company called Arbogen that's genetically modifying forest. So the trees die. Corporate America, or should I say the genetically modified companies, are there to quote-unquote save the day. But it certainly appears it's the old Hegelian dialectic, the problem-reaction-solution. Of course, that's going into the hands of corporations taking over our natural system.
Have you been able to find pilots, Michael, who will testify what they're doing?
Not yet. Not yet.
That's the big goal for all of us, isn't it?
We thought about that, but these are top secret programs, and there are a lot of consequences for testifying. So some people have come up, and they've stated that they were part of the programs, but they didn't sound credible. And I think it's very important to make sure somebody is credentialed and they're telling the truth. What we've decided to do, George, because we don't have too many whistleblowers, at least ones that appear to be credible, we're taking airplanes up, and we've started an aerosol collection project. So we have a team of pilots. We have Dr. J. Marvin Herndon, who's going to be overseeing the project. He's a world-renowned scientist. We're going up into the trails with our own airplanes, and we're testing the aerosol trails. And that is going to conclusively prove that geoengineering is occurring and is changing our climate. And with that, we have, with the peer-reviewed paper that Dr. Herndon is planning on writing, we have court admissible evidence that we can bring in into courts, and we have a very clear and concise game plan with what we're going to be doing. But, you know, for years we've had rain tests, and the rain tests that we have in terms of ingredients, they match what geoengineers state they want to put up into our sky but deny that they're doing it. The metals match a number of geoengineering patents designed to spray such as metals like aluminum oxide into our sky. And what we see in the sky, especially here in Los Angeles, on just about a day-to-day basis, these long trails that do not dissipate, they actually spread out, blocking our sun. They did decrease the temperature, at least for a short time. Those are what geoengineers state they urgently want to do. So with that, with these fingerprints, if you would, that we're finding all around the world, this is not just limited to Los Angeles. We're finding rain tests with thousands of times the normal amounts of aluminum all around the world now. And because of that, and because of the thousands of other dots that connect, there's no question that these programs are in full-scale deployment. So right now I think we're in a critical time, but I think we're in a very powerful time in terms of the work that we're doing, because our back is against the wall right now, but we're finally starting to get the support to get the airplanes in the sky, to bring forth this court admissible evidence. And a lot of people say, well, our court system is not valid, you know, it's bogus. And I would agree with people on many fronts with that, but we have to realize these are global programs. And while the United States might be in favor of doing this, there are winners and losers, especially according to David Keith, geoengineer David Keith and Ken Caldera, certain regions lose. And we have to remember this is a global issue. So we're addressing this in a global capacity. And what we're doing is sticking up for the countries that lose and all of humanity. So it's really a humanitarian effort, I believe. And I think that we're at that point where we've crossed, or maybe we're right around the tipping point. And because of that, we're starting to get attention. We're starting to get recognized. Regions have lost crops. They have lost many things. There have been a lot of damages due to the droughts, the floods that geoengineering is creating. And because of that, we're in a very critical time, because we just had COP21, the France Climate Agreement, which was a partially legally binding agreement. And what these do, which I'd like to get into in detail, what the goal is, it's to legalize geoengineering, at least create the framework to legalize geoengineering. So this is a huge consolidation of power.
So that means they know it's illegal.
Oh, they absolutely do.
Yeah.
And, George, the question a lot of people have, they said, people tell me they're spraying right now. They don't care if it's legal or not. And that's a lie. They definitely need to legalize these programs, because today we can take both legal and legislative action to stop these programs. And again, not only here in the United States, but around the world. And because of that, there are a lot of damages that have been created, again, due to droughts, due to floods, and then the contamination, people dying from aluminum-related illnesses. So I think it's very important for them to take the legislative steps, which they appear to be doing, to legalize this. And what the goal is, it's to take this out of the United States and other countries' jurisdiction, form global governance. This is, I'm talking about the climate agreements, and really remove our ability and our legislators' ability, for that matter, to take effective action. And it does. It takes, once global governance is formed, And once it's taken out of jurisdictions of countries around the world, legislators that had an opportunity to represent their constituents, they're losing that ability. So they're losing power, and again, they're not going to be able to, and we're moving very quickly into that point to be able to, again, legislate.
Michael, when we come back, we're going to talk specifically now about the new documentary on conventional gray, and then why are they spraying? That's the big question. Hey, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Our special guest, Michael Murphy. He'll be around for phone calls next hour. Michael, tell us about Unconventional Gray.
Unconventional Gray, it's a call to action film. And we really looked at the past two films, and we were successful in terms of bringing this message out to people. But there has to be more that we have to do. So that really was... there's a need in the movement right now, and it's to really get active, because as we're talking about these climate agreements and the TPP and other agreements, what they're geared to do is to create global governance. And what geoengineering is doing, it's creating climate change. Geoengineering programs are designed to manipulate our weather, and they're designed to change the temperature of our planet. And because of this, they're creating a huge amount of our changing climate. And everything, of course, that we see in terms of droughts, in terms of temperature fluctuations, whether it's a jet stream or, different storms coming in, it's being blamed on CO2. And based on what we've researched and from the mouths of geoengineers, these programs change our climate. And what we have to look at right now, global governance is being formed. We have the largest transfer of monetary and political power in the history of our planet, all being determined based on climate models that are sourcing CO2 is the cause of our changing climate. Now, a lot of people argue. They argue whether the planet's warming or cooling. We don't do that. Our stance is very strong. It is literally impossible to determine what the planet's doing based on the fact that we've had geoengineering for well over 40 years. And because of that, we are looking at ways to stop the various forms of legislation and mandates and everything else that they're moving forward with, which, by the way, is a multi-trillion dollar transfer of wealth. It's a huge percentage of power, huge amounts of money. And we're not, again, arguing whether the planet's warming or cooling, but we definitely have a major problem in relation to geoengineering. So what we're doing, we're demanding through court actions, which I'd like to get into detail, that all climate change mandates, legislation, taxes are immediately stopped and rescinded until our skies are clear of geoengineering programs so that we have nothing detectable. And why this is important, literally a message of unity, because, again, we don't argue whether the planet's warming or cooling, but what we are asking people to do is come together, take a second look at this, recognize that the climate models are flawed, they're missing the biggest factor in the climate change argument, and that's geoengineering. And because of that, the climate models are flawed, and you cannot move forward with taxation, with removing states' national boundaries. You cannot circumvent constitutions and state laws, and those are the things that are going on. So we're asking people to come together, and we're going into court, and our goals are to get literally go in and get injunctions to stop this transfer of power, to go through, not permanently, even though we feel it might be permanently, until our skies clear up. And what that does, again, it's a message of unity. It brings both sides of the global warming issue into our court, where we're all demanding that geoengineering is stopped. And because of that, we will begin to, once we're successful, which we will be, we'll begin to see our skies clear up. We'll begin to see our forests rebound. We will begin to see people that have a hope for our future. And that's really what our goals and objectives are. So while we're also educating people about what geoengineering is, how it's changing our weather, and how it's literally changing our climate, we also have very strong political objectives, and we feel very strongly, because of the season that we're in, just legally and legislatively, that this is the only action that we can take to stop these programs. And I'll tell you why. If we don't look at the legal and legislative steps, that are occurring, and we just hand out information, and which I'm guilty of, and I think it's very important, then we will allow this new government, the IPCC, the United Nations, to literally circumvent state laws. And they will. The goal is to legalize geoengineering without our input and without the input.
Well, if they can get away with it, they will, Michael. You know that.
Yes, absolutely. So we have to take action in stopping the climate change agenda that will legalize geoengineering. And we feel very strongly about this. So I have a legal team, and we're moving forward. You can actually find more information at unconventionalgray.com about our legal steps and our legal initiatives. But this is looking at geoengineering in relation to the climate change agenda. And again, I think we've had powerful corporations, powerful interests that have gone into court, and they don't want the climate change agenda because a lot of corporations lose. Certain people do, though, because, again, it's a multi-trillion-dollar industry. It's a whole new green industry. It's a way to form global governance. It's a way to tax people in their homes. I mean, this goes really, really deep. So there are certain interests, again, that really want to see the transfer of power. But there are losers within this. There are people that might lose their companies. There are people that are definitely damaged. And also regions, you know, certain regions that signed on to the COP21, the recent Paris-France climate agreement, you know, I think some of them lose. But it's I think their backs are against the wall. So what we're looking to do is getting support from both sides. And I know it sounds very, very far off. It's literally a David and Goliath.
Well, but you got to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere. And bottom line, these programs are destroying ecosystems around the world.
And let me ask you this, Michael. What do you think they're trying to do? I mean, was their original intent good, or what are they doing?
Well, geoengineering is being sold as a way to mitigate global warming. However, global warming was determined after geoengineering programs have started. We found research, you know, going back in that data that shows that these programs have been ongoing since the 50s. So when these models, the climate models, were designed, they were designed not including geoengineering programs. And we believe that's the biggest factor in our changing climate. So most people realize, especially us here in California, that our weather has been changing, that we're having a massive drought. But if you go into the Midwest, they're getting all of
these floods. Flooding. We're flooding like crazy. My daughter lost her townhouse a month ago from floods.
Exactly. So if you go up to the Arctic, and I'll explain what's happening, it's very warm up there. So yes, people are saying, yeah, of course, there's global warming. But if you're on the East Coast, it's very cold. And what they're doing, George, and what we explained in the first film, through geoengineering, they have the ability to put the aerosols, which primarily are heavy metals. Looks like it could be coal fly ash, at least in some of the programs. Anyways, they put these metals into the atmosphere. And through HARP and other HARP-like technologies, ionospheric heaters, they have the ability to heat up areas of the Pacific. So what we've been seeing outside of California for the past couple of years, the jet stream, which should be coming right into California, bringing in precipitation and bringing in normal weather patterns, it's getting diverted because it hits the bubble. When they heat that up, of course, it creates a bubble, and the jet stream hits it, and it diverts north. So it brings all that warm temperature, all that warm weather, and all that precipitation into the Arctic region, and it warms it, and it starts melting the ice. But, of course, any stream, once you block it, like a river or a stream, it's going to want to correct itself, and it does. And it brings all that cold weather back into the Midwest and the East Coast, and that's why California has been getting droughted out, and that's why the Midwest and the East Coast has had an abundance of rain, very cold summers, and very cold weather. That is the climate change that is going on. Now, my first question when I heard about this, it was, why would somebody want to do this? You know, it didn't make sense to me until we looked at California and some of the political objectives which appear to be right now being met. And some of those are related to Agenda 2130. We interviewed Rosa Corey, who's been on your show, and she was a tremendous...
Yeah, she's very good.
Yeah, and Patrick Wood did just a wonderful job. What's happening in California, there's a water issue. And because of the drought, which no question about it was geoengineering, Jerry Brown called for a state of emergency here in California. And what that state of emergency does, it gives him the ability through eminent domain to take property, to take land, and it also gives him the ability to allocate water from small farmers who have had water trusts and they have water rights. What's being done is they're diverting water away from them, giving it to big corporate ags. And, of course, where that relates to Agenda 21, the farmers that don't have water end up drying up, and they have to sell their farms. And there are corporations that come in for pennies on the dollar, and they take that land, and they push the farmers into cities. And what it does, it consolidates control not only over the land, but also over the water. And what it's doing now in California, California has a rate plan for water that is three tiers. So if somebody cuts back and they stay below what they've been using, they have probably no increase in their water rates. However, if they use more or continue to use the same amount that they've had, their water rates go up considerably. And when you consolidate power, when big corporate interests take over the water, they can make it the next oil, and that's what they're doing. They're consolidating the ownership of the water, controlling it, and jacking up the rates. And water is the next oil. They're moving forward. So this drought has been a very effective tool for achieving a lot of land opportunities for big corporations, and then also taking control over the water. And when it moves past California, which it will, we're going to be seeing this everywhere. And as a matter of fact, we are. So geoengineering gives tremendous leverage over many different systems on the planet. In terms of agriculture, geoengineering creates what's called abiotic stress. Abiotic stress is anything that will stress the soil. It's fungal overgrowth, too much moisture, it's drought conditions, heavy metal contamination. So these programs literally destroy the soils around the world. Well, when the crops, especially organic crops, start to fail, which they are, the farm that I stay on in Maui, we've had a 50% decline in our ability to get yields. What they do, Monsanto comes in, they've developed a genetically modified abiotic stress-resistant seed that will grow in this new environment. George, what they're doing, they're doing a whole lot. One of the things that they're doing, they're taking over agriculture, our forests, through death and destruction, through these programs. And when nature dies, these corporations redesign the seed that will grow in this new environment. And what this is, it's this new system. It's the corporate system. It's what the Bible calls the Antichrist system. And if you destroy something and come in with a redesigned seed, that makes the designer of that seed what? Makes them the author of life. And then they can dictate, they can mandate where those seeds go, who pays for them.
Oh, of course.
And what they do.
I mean, it's a grand plan that on a corporate level, you can make a lot of money if it works. But is it the right thing to do?
It's taking over nature. It's pushing God out of the equation.
Well, and you know what happens when you do that, Michael.
It's not a good idea.
Some of the chemicals that people are finding, and you mentioned this briefly at the first half, aluminum, but you're finding barium. And what do these chemicals do?
Oh, geez. Well, aluminum, normally, it's a very abundant metal. However, not in free form. So aluminum's, geoengineers state aluminum's a very effective metal to put up into our sky with the idea of reflecting sunlight back into space. Aluminum's lightweight, and it has, I think, 8 times the radiative effect as opposed to sulfur, which was the initial contaminant, or should I say pollution, that they were considering putting into our skies. It's also a very effective conductor. So the idea is, of course, blocking our sun and reflecting sunlight back into space and cooling the planet. That idea is not proven, however. While we know aluminum or putting the aerosols in the sky, you'll notice some days when they start spraying. It's a nice sunny day. It's about 80 degrees. And then you'll see the planes back and forth, back and forth. The temperature will drop about 7 degrees. However, at night, those aerosols stay in our sky, and they trap heat. So it actually warms the planet. And there are a number of studies that state that. So what it's doing, it's creating the climate change. It's creating, whether it's warming or cooling, whatever it's doing in regional areas. And because of that, it's impossible to really determine what's going on in terms of temperature in our planet. So in the geoengineering movement, there's been a lot of division over this issue of global warming. People arguing whether it's warming or cooling. And supporting the warming theory does nothing but support the very legislation which is aimed at legalizing geoengineering. So we don't promote that and we don't support that. However, it's impossible. It's literally impossible. And I'll ask the audience tonight, please tell me, with ongoing geoengineering programs, how anybody can determine whether the planet's warming or cooling. And with that, is it prudent to move forward with giving up our power, our control, our national boundaries, even our privacy in our own homes, and a whole lot more, which hopefully we'll get into, based on this very principle? And that's the principle that we're moving on with. But in terms of barium, you had asked what barium does. It's very toxic. It increases blood pressure, weakens our immune system. People have tested in Arizona and actually around the world, had their blood tested and their hair tested. They're finding, again, thousands of times the normal amounts of aluminum, barium, strontium, and other metals that are related to coal fly ash. So it appears just like what we had with fluoride being a waste product. Where was it put? It was put into the water. It appears that coal fly ash is a very effective residue from burning coal, which is mandated to be captured in precipitators, so it's not allowed to go up into the smokestack. But it does have very high amounts of aluminum, barium, strontium, lead, all of these things that I was wondering when we initially took the tests in both what in the world and why in the world are they spraying, we looked at aluminum, barium, and strontium only. But we're finding things such as arsenic and many other things. And now Dr. Herndon has performed a number of rain tests from certain regions, and he has found the footprint or the fingerprint of coal fly ash, which, again, is a very effective residue to put up in our sky for geoengineering purposes, but it's devastating for human health.
Michael, is this also being used for some kind of unconventional warfare? We know that there's going to be battles over water and things, food. That's going to happen. But are they doing this to learn how to destroy nations?
Oh, that's been done for years. I mean, we covered that in Why in the World. And yes,
yeah,
weather control, it's the perfect weapon. And yes, we had, like in Vietnam, Project Popeye, 13 feet of rain in less than an hour.
13 feet?
I believe it was 13 feet.
My God.
And that destroyed the Vietnamese supply line, literally destroyed it. We've seen different programs during the Johnson administration where they've actually helped certain regions get rain. However, it is the perfect weapon because if you can destabilize a country, if you can destroy through, whether it's through droughts, floods, if you can move water away, as we're seeing in California, you can literally destroy the food supply of a nation and really create a lot of internal problems. In a couple of months, you'll see rioting, other things in the nation. So it's a very effective weapon. And I remember back, George, during the Iraq War, and somebody said to me, and I think I was in church, and they said, "Wow, can you believe God? God is on the side of the U.S. government because right before they invaded Iraq, the Iraqi army was destroyed with these tremendous sandstorms, and they couldn't get their flights off of the ground." And I said, "Yeah, you know, God must be on the side of the U.S. Now, knowing that this technology has been around for years and it's very effective in warfare purposes, it's very clear to me, or you know, it leads me to question.
Sounds like Sodom and Gomorrah all over again, doesn't it?
There you go.
Stay with us, Michael. We're at the top of the hour, but we're going to come back and talk more about your latest work, Unconventional Gray, and we'll take phone calls. So if you think you see chemtrails up there, why don't you check in with us, too?